Random House Audio and Books on Tape present A Lesson Before Dying by Ernest J. Gaines. Read for you by Jay Long.
Chapter 1. I was not there, yet I was there. No, I did not go to the trial. I did not hear the verdict, because I knew all the time what it would be. Still, I was there. I was there as much as anyone else was there. Either I sat behind my aunt and his godmother, or I sat beside them. Both are large women, but his godmother is larger. She is of average height, 5'4", 5'5", but weighs nearly 200 pounds. Once she and my aunt had found their places, two rows behind the table where he sat with his court-appointed attorney, his godmother became as immobile as a great stone or as one of our oak or cypress stumps. She never got up once to get water or go to the bathroom down in the basement. She just sat there, staring at the boy's clean-cropped head where he sat at the front table with his lawyer. Even after he had gone to await the juror's verdict, her eyes remained in that one direction. She heard nothing said in the courtroom, not by the prosecutor, not by the defense attorney, not by my aunt. Oh yes, she did hear one word for sure. Hog. It was my aunt whose eyes followed the prosecutor as he moved from one side of the courtroom to the other, pounding his fist into the palm of his hand, pounding the table where his papers lay, pounding the rail that separated the jurors from the rest of the courtroom. It was my aunt who followed his every move, not his godmother. She was not even listening. She had gotten tired of listening. She knew, as we all knew, what the outcome would be. A white man had been killed during a robbery, and though two of the robbers had been killed on the spot, one had been captured, and he, too, would have to die. Though he told them no, he had nothing to do with it, that he was on his way to the White Rabbit Bar and Lounge when Brother and Bear drove up beside him and offered him a ride. After he got into the car, they asked him if he had any money. When he told them he didn't have a solitary dime, it was then that Brother and Bear started talking credit, saying that old Gropey should not mind crediting them a pint since he knew them well, and he knew that the grinding season was coming soon, and they would be able to pay him back then. The store was empty, except for the old storekeeper, Alcée Gropey, who sat on a stool behind the counter. He spoke first. He asked Jefferson about his godmother. Jefferson told him his nannin was all right. Old Gropey nodded his head. "You tell her for me I say hello," he told Jefferson. He looked at Brother and Bear, but he didn't like them. He didn't trust them. Jefferson could see that in his face. "Do for you, boys?" he asked. "A ball of that apple white there, Mr. Gropey," Bear said. Old Gropey got the bottle off the shelf, but he did not set it on the counter. He could see that the boys had already been drinking, and he became suspicious. "You boys got money?" he asked. Brother and Bear spread out all the money they had in their pockets on top of the counter. Old Gropey counted it with his eyes. "That's not enough," he said. "Come on now, Mr. Gropey," they pleaded with him. You know you gonna get your money soon as grinding start." "No," he said. "Money is slack everywhere. You bring the money, you get your wine." He turned to put the bottle back on the shelf. One of the boys, the one called Bear, started around the counter. "You stop there," Gropey told him. "Go back." Bear had been drinking and his eyes were glossy. He walked unsteadily, grinning all the time as he continued around the counter. "Go back," Gropey told him. "I mean the last time now. Go back." Bear continued. Gropey moved quickly toward the cash register, where he withdrew a revolver and started shooting. Soon there was shooting from another direction. When it was quiet again, Bear, Gropey, and Brother were all down on the floor, and only Jefferson was standing.